Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your late night live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you till midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us and give us a telephone call tonight and join in the conversation with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. We've got a special guest that's going to be joining us here tonight. We have Tom Wallace of Fortress of Faith, radio program and website, fortressoffaith.org. He'll be joining us here shortly. And let's go ahead and open a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray your blessings on the program. Help us, Lord, to be able to be a help and encouragement and a blessing to somebody tonight. And we do pray if there's somebody searching for the truth, that, Lord, it's something that we talk about tonight that the Holy Spirit of God can use to direct that person's heart towards Christ, that they might be able to trust Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for the opportunity. Bless the program tonight for your glory, for your purpose, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to get started here this evening and just mention a couple things real quick as we get going here. We have a conference coming up at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, and this conference is going to be with Tom Wallace of Fortress of Faith and a radio program, fortressoffaith.org. And he is with us on the telephone tonight. And Tom, are you there?
I am, Brother Al.
Hi, welcome.
Oh,
good to have you back with us. You were on about a month and a half ago or so. And, you know, I was kind of worried there for a minute. You're up in Dearborn here this past week. And, you know, they have a history of putting people in jail overnight when they try to get in there in the Arab festival and try to talk to people about the Lord, don't they?
Well, you know, yeah, that has been the event here, and that happened in 2010. Some Christians were doing some evangelism on the streets, and, you know, perfectly within their legal rights, and they were arrested for doing it. There's a long story behind that, and tonight I'd love to, you know, if you'd like, I can share some of that story and some of my experiences with you in Dearborn this week. The festival finished tonight. And it's been three busy, busy days for me, and I've spent about a week and a half here in Dearborn, and learned a lot of things, saw some exciting things, and saw some things that discouraged me, to tell you the truth, but may God be glorified.
Oh, and I appreciate you being able to be up there, and we'll look forward to hearing that. But as we get started here, I want to remind our callers that you can call toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to get to our callers here in a little bit, but we're going to talk for a few minutes here, and then we'll try and keep our questions probably a little bit more closely related to the some of the things we talk about here tonight. But before we get going, I couldn't resist sharing this one with you here tonight, Tom. I was looking online here earlier this evening, and I suppose I shouldn't give away our secret Christian plans here, because you know how we all get our marching orders. It seems somewhere in the past we corrupted the tomato. I don't know if you're aware of this, Tom. But
no, this is news to me. But
well, the the popular Egyptian Islamic Association, that's a Salafist Muslim group, put out a warning on Facebook urging their followers not to eat tomatoes. And here's why. If you cut a tomato in half, you can see the cross that's hidden inside revealed. And they even have a picture of the tomato on their page. And they say, eating tomatoes is forbidden because they are Christian. The tomato praises the cross instead of Allah and says that Allah is three. which of course referenced the Trinity. And so they say, God help us. I implore you to spread this photo because there is a sister from Palestine who saw the prophet of Allah, Muhammad, in a vision, and he was crying, warning his nation against eating tomatoes. If you don't spread this message, you know it is the devil who stopped you. Oh yeah, well,
maybe it was the tomato. Maybe it was the tomato on the forbidden fruit rather than the apple.
Maybe I'm going to nickname this one the Crusader Mater here. So, but well, you can't make that stuff up. Well, but I got the link to that from Jihad Watch, which is a pretty good pretty good website there, and they had some information from these folks' webpage. Our Facebook page, but enough of that tomato business. One last part on that. I suppose there's got to be some connection to the reason bacon is used then in the tomato, lettuce, and bacon sandwich. But any rate, back to your experiences there in Dearborn, Michigan, this past week, and of course you're going to be with us this Friday night and Saturday night at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and then on Sunday as well, this Friday, June the 22nd, 7 to 9 p.m., and then Saturday, June the 23rd, 3 to 5 p.m., you're going to be conducting a seminar with us, Engaging Muslims with the Gospel. And then, of course, you're going to be preaching for us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, also meeting at the Holiday Inn Express there, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You're going to be with us Sunday the 24th, and that's going to be in our 11 o'clock service in the morning and our 6 o'clock service in the evening. We're looking forward to having you and hearing some more firsthand accounts of what you've experienced there in Dearborn this past week and a half. So I'll turn that over to you to fill us in on some of the things happening up there.
Okay, well, of course, 2 years ago, or rather 3 years ago, in 2010, Christians were arrested in Dearborn, Michigan, and all they were doing, their crime, is that they were sharing the gospel with Muslims. Now, you need to have a little bit of background here. Probably about 2 years prior to then, or about a year before then, Dearborn elected a Muslim chief of police and a Muslim mayor, John O'Reilly. And many Christians have been going to the Dearborn Festival, many local Christians, and then there are other apologists and evangelists who travel from, you know, different parts of America, and they go there. Well, there's one particular group that comes from California, and some of these guys are really good at answering the problems and the difficulties about Islam and converting Muslims to Christianity. One of them was David Wood and his friend Nabil. And these guys have been quite successful. And I think with the new mayor and chief of police, they were trying to shut down these Christian missionary efforts. And they arrested these two guys. The year before, they bullied them and threw them out of the festival. And the next year, they arrested them. And this went viral on the internet, on YouTube. They, fortunately, because of what happened to them the year before in 2009, when they came back in 2010, they had friends, record what was going on. So we had video evidence that these people were not doing what the police had claimed. The police said that they were yelling into the crowd and inciting a riot. Well, that was far from being the truth. And so the video evidence was put there in their trial. They were found not guilty. And then a lawsuit was placed on the city. Now, I've come to know David Wood and Nabil and some of these guys. I've read a lot of their material. I've watched a lot of their teachings on the internet. I've interviewed and I've talked to David Wood on a few occasions. And these guys are the real deal. And they are.
This is the Acts 17 group, right?
Muslims.
This is the Acts 17 group?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, is this that Acts 17 group?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. I think I've seen their some of their video on the arrest and everything. Yeah, they do have some excellent materials. I have one of their things linked to my website right now where they talk about the sun setting in the muddy spring. But get back to your story there.
Okay, well, So when I heard about the arrest, well, you know, I was angry too. I mean, we were enraged, the fact that, you know, Christians are getting arrested in America for sharing the gospel. Come on now, this is this should never happen here. So I told my wife, I'm going to Dearborn. This was 2 years ago. I didn't know yet about the lawsuit. I didn't know that that they had changed their, you know, cleaned up their game. And I thought, you know, going, I could get arrested. I didn't want to be arrested, naturally, but I don't want my Christian liberties to be lost. I was taught he who doesn't use his freedom to protect his freedom,
right,
freedom doesn't deserve his freedom. And so I went to Dearborn 2 years ago, a little enraged, and I was pleasantly surprised. We were able to freely share the gospel. The police were doing their best to... you know, because some Muslims would get upset with some Christians in the manner that they were giving, you know, the gospel. But the sad thing was is that we had, and of course, because of the news, this getting out, there was about 300 Christians that showed up at the festival this year. Now, you got to, you know, there's about 300,000 Muslims that go through this festival. And so we had about 300 so-called evangelists. About 30-40 of them were just protesters.
Mm-hmm.
We even had Terry Jones show up, you know, from Florida, the crowd
right.
burner. And so, you know, it was a great mess, but they kept these people outside of the festival. They didn't let them come in. They gave them a free speech zone. They could hold their signs up and, you know, say what they, you know, they were protesting Islam. But they have no idea how much harm they're doing
mm-hmm.
to the local Christians that are trying to reach the Muslim community with the gospel. And I've got to say, I'm coming out of this, you know, this is my second year at the festival, and I'm encouraged but discouraged as well. We had another group show up just purely to spew out hate towards Islam and Muslims, and they did it in the name of Christ.
Mm.
And it was pitiful and upsetting to us as Christians. And this is, you know, the Bible says that we're to speak the truth in love.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
We're also told in Second Corinthians that we're to give no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. And these guys had disrespected the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that they say they're representing God, but they're not. They're representing themselves. There were two winners and two losers. The Muslims, some Muslims were winners because, you know, they were able to throw, you know, bottles and crates and things at these Christians that were protesting, and they go home saying, well, I protected my God and my prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And these Christians can go home and saying, well, I suffered for Jesus.
Right.
So those are two winners, but there's two losers. One loser is God.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was not glorified in any of that.
Right.
And then Dearborn is another loser. They get another bloody nose. And this was because of Christians behaving badly. Lord help us.
Yeah. And you know, I learned this a long time ago, back from some missionaries when I was actually stationed in England, that one missionary in particular said the best way to show somebody they have a crooked stick is to put a straight one next to it. And... you know, when you're trying to, you know, present Islam as being hateful and all of that by being hateful yourself, I mean, what good really are you doing? I think people get caught up in the flesh rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to guide them in their witness, trying to reach people that Jesus Christ died for, because God
exactly.
loves them and wants to reach them with the gospel as well. So... but let me give out our phone numbers here, if I could, Tom, and we can get some callers, too, and some things, talk about various things related to that as well, and what you might be covering coming up this week and at our Islamic conference, Engaging Muslims with the Gospel, at the Bible Baptist Church meeting at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road this Friday, June the 22nd, Saturday, June the 23rd, and Sunday, June the 24th. And, of course, this is Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we're talking with Tom Wallace of Fortress of Faith and that radio program, and as well as Fortress of Faith. .org online, all one word, and a great site, some really informative of material there, some of his radio programs, a variety of things related to Islam available there. Encourage people to listen and explore his site there, fortressoffaith.org. And if you've got a question about the Bible, current events in light of God's word, especially in relation to Islam and creeping Sharia and how to reach Muslims with the gospel, why don't you give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And Tom, we got a caller calling in who has some questions about what's going on in Egypt, and maybe you have some insight to help with that as well. I've got some suspicions, some things happening there. I heard on the news just this evening that the Muslim Brotherhood candidate name is kind of slipping me right here at the moment, but he is apparently leading in the results on the presidential polls there in Egypt right now, as opposed to the holdover from the Mubarak regime. And we can get a caller here, Tom, but again, we're speaking with Tom Wallace here at fortressoffaith.org on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we have Nancy in Euclid calling in. Nancy, are you with us?
Yes, Pastor Al. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Well, good evening.
I was considering coming out to that Muslim, how to evangelize Muslims. What are the times on Saturday? I just didn't quite catch that.
On Saturday? Let me give you the times here. Friday is 7 to 9 p.m., Friday evening, June 22nd. Then Saturday, June 23rd, 3 to 5 p.m. Yeah, these are both two-hour blocks. And then Sunday, of course, I'm sure you'll be at your own church there at Euclid. But for those that are able to come on Sunday, Brother Tom will be with us 11 in the morning and 6 in the evening for our regular services there. And Tom, would you like to just kind of briefly share what you're going to be doing during that Friday and Saturday in those two-hour blocks?
Sure. We have a 4-hour conference that we do on how to engage Muslims with the gospel. It's filled with practical tips, but also it's filled with scriptures that come out of the Quran so that you can show Muslims things that are in their Quran, in their teachings, and compare these things with the teachings of the scriptures. And it's kind of a methodical a process that we go through. You know, there's certain things that you don't want to, you know, open up with Muslims. You don't want to start off with usually with the Trinity, and you don't want to start off with biblical inspiration, and certainly you don't want to go to the Romans Road because they reject the Apostle Paul,
right?
And they believe he's the greatest corrupter of the New Testament. And there's areas that we teach you of where to start and how to develop a relationship with a Muslim.
Okay.
And so we're going to be going over these things for the next over those two nights. On Friday, we'll do the first 2 hours, and on Saturday, we'll do the second 2 hours. And if you miss one of the seminars, yeah, you'll be a little out of the game. But I believe that it'll be well worth your time coming. Just even if you only can pick one session, come for one of these sessions. You'll get a free booklet that covers all of the information, and it's a booklet that I've designed that you can take home, and it will help you in your further study because there's a whole lot more in that booklet. There's three appendixes in there. We've got Islam 101, so it'll give you a bit of a basis on Islam. Appendix B and C deals with some of the apologetic issues that we need to be armed with when we deal with Muslims. And it's just filled with a lot of good information. And it's stuff that I have collected after researching Islam for now quite a few years. And other people who were former missionaries that are missionaries to Muslims or former Muslims who got saved and sharing with us the process that they went through. And so we're just getting Christians equipped to deal with the mission field that's come to our doorstep.
And that's a very good point. I mean, we don't have to go to Saudi Arabia. We don't have to go to Iran, or Egypt to reach Muslims. They're here. And in growing numbers.
Amen. I do know a Muslim friend at the swimming pool, and a friend of mine and I, we've been witnessing him. But from what you're saying, don't start with the Trinity and biblical inspiration, and they reject a woman's road. But you have a different way of approaching them, so this could be very, very practical. I was just curious about, I heard on CNN that where I was, all they had was, you know, the liberal TV stations, and CNN, they said the conservative candidate was winning, but I remember hearing when Mubarak, you know, was overthrown, and I guess now he's, you know, just about at death's door, he's out of power, that if they did elect another leader, president or whatever, that great chance that he would be a Muslim. But they did not say this at all on CNN, so I was very disappointed when I heard Pastor Al just say that this was a Muslim Brotherhood candidate. All they said was the conservative candidate was winning. They didn't want this young guy.
Yeah, the conservative candidate.
Whatever. Do you know, if he, is he a Muslim too? Is it like Muslim versus Muslim, or I don't know.
I think they're all Muslim, and the conservative candidate would be probably the Muslim Brotherhood guy, Mohammed Morsi, I believe is his name, and then the guy that's the holdover from the Mubarak regime is Ahmed Shafiq, and it looks like Morsi, the Muslim Brotherhood candidate, appears to be leading last that I heard. Muslim Brotherhood, of course, is a very very fundamentalist Islamic group. They're the ones who, in fact, assassinated Anwar Sadat for signing the treaty, the Camp David Accords, that brought Egypt peace with Israel.
Candidates are Muslim, so we don't really have a chance. So these predictions that I heard a while back said that it's not going to be really to our advantage for Mubarak to be overthrown, because they're just going to let the Muslim Brotherhood, but they did not say this on CNN.
Well, it's kind of, you know, like the old expression, out of the frying pan into the fire, because you trade a dictator for a fundamentalist Islamic regime. They want to institute Sharia law and break off the treaty with Israel. And Egypt's in some dangerous waters right now. On Friday, I believe it was, the Supreme Court, High Court of Egypt, to dissolve the parliament and things. Tom, do you have any other insight on that? We got just about a minute or two before we go to our break here.
I don't have any information on the election, but let me say this. What's happening in Egypt is exactly what happened to Iran back in 1979.
Right.
They thought that they were throwing out a bad dictator to bring themselves into more freedoms. Instead, they allowed, created a vacuum to bring them deeper into fundamentalism, the Ayatollah Khomeini. There's the Khomeini and the Khomeini.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought them deeper and deeper into fundamentalism, and that's exactly what's happening. Yeah, that's what this whole Arab Spring is. There's
right.
a revival of fundamentalism, and the Muslim Brotherhood is the face of that. We predicted that this is going to happen, and it's happening. I'm not surprised, not one bit at all.
Well, we certainly need to pray for the Christians that are there in Egypt today. They were undergoing more and more persecution in the waning days of the Mubarak regime. And since he's been out of power, the persecution of Christians in Egypt has increased as well. And we certainly need to pray for them. Nancy, hope that helps. I hope you'll be able to join us at the conference.
And can I just ask you a really quick question? Did they allow Bibles or crosses or whatever? And Walter Reed, I heard some conflicting information that they're not allowing it. But then I thought I heard that they repealed it. There was so much outcry.
At Walter Reed Hospital?
Hospital in D.C.?
I really don't have any information on that. Tom, do you have any information on that or heard anything?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I would imagine the tomatoes on the salad bar are safe. So, but
thank you very much.
Appreciate that.
Extremely helpful.
And if you know anybody there, friends that you'd like to bring out for the Engaging Muslims with the Gospel Conference, we
I do know somebody that might be interested in the Saturday afternoon when I was thinking of going to that myself.
All right.
That's
well,
about the only one. Okay, thank you so much. It's very, very helpful.
Appreciate that.
Really enjoying your guest tonight. Thank you
very
so much.
And Tom, certainly glad to have you. Of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we're here live on WHKW AM 1220, The Word, and we'll be going till midnight tonight. We've got a break coming up, but we're talking with Tom Wallace of Fortress of Faith radio program, and we'll talk more about that as well in the next half. But you can also find him online at fortressoffaith.org. It's fortressoffaith.org, and great site, some good information, and a lot of his radio broadcast there that you can listen to. Tom, stick with us. We've got another half hour to go, and also be talking about the conference coming up later on this week, Engaging Muslims with the Gospel. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al on WHKW AM 1220. The Word will be with you until midnight tonight. And I'll catch my breath after running from the other studio back in here just in time to put my headsets back on. But we're talking with Tom Wallace tonight of Fortress of Faith, and you can find him online at fortressoffaith.org. He was just up in Dearborn, Michigan for the Arab festival up there. We'll be talking about that. We've been talking about some of the things that happened there. But just wanted to mention to you, of course, that Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. You can call us at 330-659-6561 or go online at bbc.maplenoel.us. Maple Knoll is spelled M-A-P-L-E-K-N-O-L-L. That's bbc.maplenoel.us. And you can find out more information about us and about our Engaging Muslims with the Gospel conference coming up later this week. We're also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road. That's State Route 82. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can contact Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. And let Frank know that you heard about Frank's Antiques in North Royalton right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, we're going to get back to our guest. We have Tom Wallace with us here tonight. And if you've got a question for our guest or question about our subject, we're talking about Islam here tonight. And you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Toll free. We can get you on the air here this evening. And Tom, are you still there with us?
I sure am.
Oh, good. I didn't lose you when running from one studio to the other. So there we go. We were talking about your experiences at the Arab Festival in Michigan yesterday, and talking about a variety of things, also about the conference that you're going to be doing with us Friday, June the 22nd, Saturday, June the 23rd, and then on Sunday, June the 24th. And we'll talk more about that here in a little bit, and that information is available on our church website at bbc.maplenoll.us as well. But we were talking before about some of the problems, some of the things that were causes for concern that you saw occurring at the festival there in Michigan last week. Let's get back to that here a little bit, if you would.
Well, you know, I told you about this group that came in to protest. They came in on Saturday. No, actually Friday night, Friday afternoon. And there's about 12, 15 of them. I've got some photographs of the incident. They'll be on my website. I'll be covering more about that this week. And, you know, these people came for one purpose only, and that was to anger Muslims. And I understand in America, you know, we're angry with Islam, with the attack. We're angry with the continued threats that comes from Islam. But folks, we need to understand this. You've got to see there's a difference between Islam and the Muslim.
Right.
Islam is the ideology, is where all the wickedness and the evil and the destruction is. But don't confuse that with the Muslim. You don't blame every communist for communism. You don't blame every Nazi for Nazism. You don't blame every German for Nazism. And so in order to help a German, you had to deal with Nazism. In order to help a communist, you had to deal with communism. If we're going to help a Muslim, and these are people that are have souls, that are actually the victims of Islam, the first victims of Islam. They don't see it yet.
Right.
And they need someone with the love of Christ to come and to show them the truth. As you said, I like that saying, you know, if someone's got a crooked stick, lay a straight stick next to it. And that's what we want to do. We want to bring the truth of the gospel, the scriptures to them. And many of them have never held a Bible before in their life.
And let me interject something.
The mission field next door to us, and we won't talk to them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to interject something there, getting back there before we get too far from it. You know, when a Muslim encounters a Christian, oftentimes that may be the first time for them, just like it is the first time for the Christian talking with that Muslim. And you spent some time in England, as did I, and you know, probably, you know, when you originally went over there with your parents, I know when I first went over there, you know, courtesy of Uncle Sam, we were told that our conduct, our behavior off base was America to the British people. When they saw us and how we behaved, they said, that's America. And when a Muslim sees a Christian, the way they behave, they say, that's Christianity. And sometimes it is, and sometimes, unfortunately, like you're saying, it isn't really. It's the old carnal flesh of that person. But go
that's
ahead.
So true. Let me read to you something. It's actually going to be in the course that we're going to cover. It comes from Ergun Kanner, who's a former Muslim. Now he's a professor teaching Christians in theology and missionary work. And he says this there, that You may be the first Christian friend that a Muslim has ever had. There are layers of suspicion and doubt that must be cut away, especially for those immigrants who believe in the caricature of Christians as hateful, selfish, and openly sinful. It may take a long time to bridge that gap. And so, you know, how you live, your testimony in front of them is
right.
so important. And I'm afraid some of us are blowing it in a terrible way in front of them. And let me tell you this, this group that came in, they brought a pig's head on a spike, on a stick, just to create insult. And they got the result that they wanted. You know, these Muslims started hurling their water bottles at them, throwing water and whatever they could find to throw at these people, you know, because that's exactly what they were trying to get them to
right.
do. And they can go home saying, see how terrible these Muslims are. And they got no one to blame but themselves. And that's just, we've got to put a stop to that type of behavior in the Christian circles.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you're talking about that and the way approaching people, you know, and the Lord talked about loving your enemies and doing good to them. But Paul had an interesting comment in Romans chapter 11. And this was in reference to the Jews, of course, and their persecution of the early Christians. And he said in Romans 11:28, as concerning the gospel, and I think this applies to Muslims today, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. And, you know, God loves them. They may be enemies to the gospel, but they're people that Jesus Christ died for.
Right.
And God loves them. And as Christians, we ought to love them as human beings, people with souls that Jesus Christ died for. And getting back to something you said earlier, you said they're really the first victims of Islam.
Mm-hmm. They are. I mean, they've been caught up in this darkness. And the sad thing, too, is that they're also taught that they can never leave Islam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you leave Islam, you become an apostate.
Right.
And, you know, what's supposed to be given to an apostate is death. But most likely you'll be shunned by your family, you'll
mm-hmm.
be disowned, disinherited. And so there's a big decision that a Muslim has to make if they choose Christ for salvation.
Absolutely.
It's not just saying a little prayer and, you know, okay, I've got my ticket for heaven. No,
mm-hmm.
this is a life-changing event. But I tell you, Muslims are converting to Christ. Many Muslims know the truth is not in Islam.
Right.
But so they don't even practice their religion. They just keep the name and they just continue on in that culture. But they don't want Islam. That's why there's attempts. There's a lot of people trying to change Islam. You know, there's Christians trying to change Christianity. You know,
mm-hmm.
they don't like what the Bible says. So they're going to make up their own type of Christianity.
Right, exactly.
That's happening in the Islamic world. And 70% of the Muslims in America are of that stripe. You know, they don't really follow Islam, but they're still Muslim, and they know it's the best religion, but secretly inside their heart, there's doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And if a Christian could just show compassion, oh, how important compassion is, and
mm-hmm.
showing genuine interest in them, saying, you know, hey, I'm a Christian, I know you're a Muslim, but I was wondering, have you ever let a Christian open the Bible and explain it to you? You know, I'd love to do that one day if you have any questions. And I'd like to be your friend. Yeah, can you imagine that?
Hmm.
I mean, is that a brain science? You know, you have to be a wizard in order to figure that out. But I tell you what, if you do that, that'll be amazing. That would be amazing. And then you just develop a friendship and just answer questions. Ask them questions.
Right.
And that, you know, so we teach you how to do that. Be genuine. Learn some things about them. And then they will reciprocate. And when they do, oh, wow, that's great. And it's just, and you keep in the front, you know, I'm a Christian and I love you in the Lord. And God has made provision for you. And I hope that, you know, I hope that you'll be able to see the truth. And I'd like to share that with you sometime.
Well, and you know, if we want to share with them that God is love and that he loves us, then obviously, if we're not willing to show love to them, how are they going to see the love of God? And, you know, after all, Jude said, you know, some reaching some of the gospel, as some have compassion making a difference. And I think it goes hand in hand with what you're saying.
Yeah.
So
it sure is. Well, I'm looking forward to being with you. This is going to be an exciting time. We're going to have a great time together.
Well, looking forward to it as well. And of course, you're listening to WHKW AM 1220, The Word, and this is Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, and we're talking with Tom Wallace of Fortress of Faith. That's fortressoffaith.org, .org online, and encourage you to visit that site. He is going to be with us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, and we'll be meeting at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. That's located in Richfield at Interstate 77 and 80, 5171 Brecksville Road. And he is going to be presenting a seminar, Engaging Muslims with the Gospel. This seminar is free. It's open to the public, and it'll be held, as I said, at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express Friday, June the 22nd, 7 to 9 p.m., and then Saturday, June the 23rd, 3 to 5 p.m. Tom said that he has a booklet, a workbook available for you, and there's no charge. I will, in the interest of honesty and openness and everything here, so nobody gets thinks that we loom in with a free conference just to get money out of them, we will be taking up a free will offering to help cover expenses, but that's exactly what it says. It's a free will offering. If you want to put something in, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. We're putting this out, hopefully it'll be a service and a blessing and an encouragement to people to understand what Islam is and understand how we can, and I like, Tom, how you said this, engaging Muslims with the gospel. You could have said evangelizing, you could have said reaching, you could have said converting, but I like what you said, engaging, because from what you've been saying, we have to get their attention, and we have to let the Holy Spirit get a hold of their heart, and we need to engage them with the claims of the gospel before they'll listen to it. And of course, you'll be with us Friday, June the 22nd, Saturday, June the 23rd. And then also, if people can't make that, you will be preaching and teaching on the same subjects Sunday, June the 24th, during our 11 o'clock service and our 6 o'clock in the evening service. That's 11 in the morning and 6 in the evening at the Holiday Inn Express, where we meet. And that'll be this coming weekend. And Tom, it's having a great time having you on the air with us here tonight. And we've been talking about a variety of things. You've been up in Dearborn, Michigan here this past week, the Arab Festival there. And we've been talking about things that believers ought to know about reaching Muslims. And you've touched on some of the don'ts, some of the problems that people have caused for the cause of Christ, with their just plain carnal, fleshly behaviors. But how about some things that are good things, practical things? Maybe there's somebody listening that can't make it to the seminar, but they say, what's some good practical things I can do to reach Muslims? You touched on some of them, but maybe we could concentrate on that for a moment if you could.
Well, you know, yeah, we've talked about some of the don'ts. There's a few more don'ts out there that are very important, but let me just go to a few do's.
Okay. We can come back to some of the don'ts, too.
I touched on it a little bit, but let me just elaborate a little bit more, because this is so, so important. Every Muslim that I've met that has come to Christ, this was made probably one of the most important things. Over doctrine, this was more important than doctrine, is showing friendship to them and showing interest in them. Mm-hmm. Imagine yourself. Now, Brother Al, you've lived overseas,
right.
And I've lived overseas. I spent most of my life as an American outside of America. You wouldn't know it from my accent, I know, but trust me, I used to have a British accent. I lived 29 mm-hmm. years of my life over there. I still say tomato instead of tomato.
I caught that earlier, yeah.
The trunk, and sometimes I hoot my hooter instead of honk my horn.
But, right.
One of the big do's is show genuine interest. Ask thought-provoking questions that, and make it up front. You are a Christian. You're not ashamed of that, and you're not. You know, there's no apology for being a Christian, but you're not putting yourself as superior and them as inferior because they're a Muslim. And, you know, and so that you need to show another do is show respect for their prophet, Muhammad, even though you don't believe in him, and show respect for the Quran, even though you don't believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
But be respectful for their customs. Let me
right.
give you some things. Actually, these are kind of the do nots, I guess. You know, you don't want to you don't want to put your Bible on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Muslims, you know, revere their holy book and will cover it in velvet and put it in an elevated place in their home. And they see a Christian, you know, just fling their Bible on the floor. Well, that shows disrespect in their eyes. You know, there's some other things that you don't want to do. One of the biggest problems is this, the immodesty
mm-hmm.
in Christians.
Yes.
You know, you look at how modest the girls dress, and look how immodest Christian girls dress. And that's a turnoff to a Muslim. And so, you know, first of all, we're dishonoring God because we're not dressing modestly in the
right.
first place. But that testimony that it gives to other people and you know, and if that hits you kind of in the heart, well, maybe God intended it to do that. And so, you know, we need to clean up our act as Christians here.
Mm-hmm.
And so just, you know, a few things. Let me see what else here we got there. Of course, don't ever, ever offer them any alcohol. You know,
well, I would hope that the Christians aren't going to be doing
place,
that.
But don't offer them pork to eat. And,
yeah.
And, you know, don't make jokes about sacred things like, you know, prayer or heaven or fasting or God. You know, within Islam, everything's outward. You see, there's nothing inward within the religion of Islam. Everything has to be shown outward. That's why they behave the way they do. When they see something that is, you know, blasphemy, well, they have to show their disdain and, you know, for that. And they have to protect their God. They have to protect their prophet by showing it outwardly, because there's nothing inward in their relationship with their God.
Now, that's an interesting point. I'm reading a short book right now by an Islamic philosopher, and it was kind of interesting. This ties in with just with what you said. He was talking about the importance of going through the motions, like of the Friday night prayers, you know, and the various prayers during the day, going through the motions, the posture of not only the washing of the hands and things, but the posture of kneeling and bowing your head to the ground. And you're talking about the outward emphasis. You're talking about how the outward positioning of the body and doing these things promotes inward responses. So they're looking at using the outward to change the inside, you know, where, of course, in Christianity, we, of course, look at the Holy Spirit working on the inside, changing the outside. But you can see where, with that philosophy, the outward appearance is very important, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, so it's like what Jesus had to tell the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, outwardly you're like a whited sepulcher, all beautiful and pretty,
right.
but inwardly you're dead men's bones.
Exactly, exactly.
And this is the religion of Islam, the religion of works,
mm-hmm.
and it's all ritual and ceremony and just outward showings of adoration to their God. And the more that they can do that, the more you know, fluently they can say their Quran, and they memorize the Quran. That is so important to them, is the memorization, the oral traditions, and most of the time they have no idea what they're memorizing because it's in Arabic, and very few people actually speak it.
Right.
They just learn how to say the words, but they don't know what they mean for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Only 15% of the 1.6 billion people in the world today are Muslims. Only about 15% of them are actually Arabic, and most of them are of other nationalities and other language types there, and they don't even know the Arabic, but they have to memorize it in Arabic.
Yeah.
When they say their Shahada, which is their a prayer of salvation, and they say it every day, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's the creed. You know, they're saying words that they don't even really understand.
Kind of like the old Catholic Church, you know, Latin masses. Remember when prior to the early 60s when they went to the English masses. And you brought up a good point, too, about the number of people who are actually Arabic. It's a common misconception, I think, for us to to think that every Arab is a Muslim and every Muslim is an Arab. And that's just not true, is it?
That's not at all. Yeah, I mean, what you're saying is true, exactly. In fact, actually, there's a good group. There's 300,000 Arabs here in Dearborn, but not all of them are Muslim. There's a good large portion of them is Chaldeans, and these are Arabs that are more of a Catholic Christianity
right.
Side of things, but they're the Chaldeans. And so, you know, yeah, we commonly make these mistakes, and it's because, you know, in America, we're not very well informed about other the things outside of this world, outside of America.
And that's unfortunate.
Or anything outside of our religion.
Exactly. And we as Americans, especially with the wealth that we have and the freedom that we have and the knowledge of the Bible that we have or should have, we ought to be more informed about the world outside of our borders. And so that we can better pray for the world, whether they're Muslim, Arab, Buddhist, Hindu, Chinese, whatever they are, we need to pray for the world outside of our borders, because our responsibility is to go, as the Bible says, into all the world and preach the gospel. And that all the world is a lot bigger, than the United States of America. We might think it revolves around us, but it really doesn't. And Tom, we're coming up on the end of our program here. We've got just a couple of minutes left. We've mentioned about your program. Could you just take about a minute real quick, and then we'll have to sum up a couple things here. Mention about your radio program real quick here before we run out of time.
Sure. We've been on the radio now 17 months, and the Lord has blessed this ministry in a tremendous way. We started with one station. We're now on five stations. We're broadcasting to over 11 million people in North America. You know, that's United States and Canada. In two more months, it looks like FBN, Fundamental Broadcasting Network, is going to take our program, and that will put us on 40 more stations. And we're doing this because God's people are seeing the need for this ministry. There's two sides to our ministry. Number one, we resist Islam. Islam is a very destructive, dangerous religion. I show it to you through their history and proof and what it's done in Europe and what it's doing here in America. But that's Islam. But we want to rescue Muslims. We resist Islam. We rescue Muslims. So I equip the church with information about Islam and also how to reach Muslims.
Well, Tom, we're out of time here, and I appreciate your information and encourage people to visit your website, fortressoffaith.org, and check out the information there. And join us this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Engaging Muslims with the Gospel. And go to our website at the church website, bbc.maplenoel.us, and look for more information. And join us again Friday afternoon for Live with Pastor Al, and again next week, Sunday night.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.